climate has always been one of Arizona's selling points, but this time of year it can feel like more of a downside. There are efforts to try to deal with the heat and in some cases reverse the warming trends. Over the next few weeks, we'll hear about some of them. We start with Phoenix's new Tree and Shade and Urban Heat Island Subcommittee. Among other tasks, it'll look at how well the city's Tree and Shade Master Plan is being implemented and whether they can benchmark progress on that plan in a way that gets to the goal of 25% of the city under natural or constructed shade. The subcommittee's chair, Sarah Porter, says the panel hopes to be able to make recommendations to the city council by next spring. I recently met Porter downtown. We sat underneath a building's overhang with lots of trees nearby, and I asked her what's the right balance between natural and man-made shade.
I think that's a really good question, and I would say that it depends very much on the space. So here, this is the Buse Center for Law and Society, ASU's new law school building, right in, you know, the smack of downtown. And there's clearly a commitment to incorporate a lot of natural shade as well as constructed shade. And probably this makes sense for this space because this is a natural gathering space. So they seem to have hit a really beautiful balance. But the equation would be different in different spaces. There might be places where it would make more sense to have more natural shade, and I would say that a neighborhood is such a place.
What is the goal with creating shade? I mean, is it really about getting people out and about and walking?
Yeah, it's a combination of different goals. If we just looked at the tree shade, the goal does include cooling neighborhoods, cooling streets, cooling parks. It also includes the benefits of trees, which are sequestering, you know, greenhouse gases and cleaning up the air. Trees are natural filters that help keep the air clean. That has health benefits. Another big goal for providing more shade is that it gives children more months of the year in which they can play, and it gives people more months of the year in which they can walk or run or get exercise outside. With constructed shade, it's largely the cooling benefits that we get. It allows people to go outside more months of the year, and it makes the streetscapes more attractive.
Assuming that the city is able to meet its goal of having 25% covered by shade, how much cooler do you think that could make the city? I mean, what kind of impact do you think that might have?
I haven't seen studies that assign a number to how much cooler it could be. I think there are experts who are working on that assessment. I think what's important for us as people who live in Phoenix is to get our cool evenings and cool mornings back. And the problem with Urban Heat Island for Phoenix is that we don't release heat at night in the way that Phoenix used to, and so we don't cool off.
So hopefully then is the goal that people can maybe first thing in the morning and, you know, maybe as the sun is going down and after the sun has gone down a bit, it'll be maybe less oppressive outside.
Yeah, if it can just get below 90, it makes a huge amount of difference for people. And, you know, I grew up in Phoenix, and kids, during the summertime, kids went out and played at night. You know, it was really the time when we could feel the cooling. That doesn't happen in the way it used to.
When you're looking at constructed man-made shade, when you're, you know, a building like the law school here, really any building, is there a balance that has to be struck between, yes, you're building something that's going to be providing shade, but you're also building something that is, you know, sort of taking away maybe in some parts of town, open desert, or a place that maybe would have been fairly cool absent that building?
Yeah, I think you're right. I wouldn't pick on this building here downtown because, you know, this is a place that's been pretty heavily built. But in other parts of town, buildings do displace natural cooling systems, and impermeable surfaces displace natural cooling systems. So raising the level of consciousness on the part of the people who are doing the designing and the people who are paying for the building is part of the goal of the Tree and Shade Master Plan.
Your committee will also be looking, as the name implies, at urban heat islands. And I'm wondering, how much of a difference do you think that we can make in the urban heat island effect here in the Phoenix area? I mean, is it mitigatable? Is it reversible to some extent? Or are you just trying to keep it from getting any worse?
Well, first off, it would be good if we could keep it from getting any worse, wouldn't it? I've seen some studies that suggest that Phoenix has probably felt the big impacts of urban heat island, and that we may not be in for more impacts or significantly more impacts. But there are other studies that show that there are things we can do to mitigate urban heat island, to actually reduce the high temperatures. Some examples are cooler rooftops. There are experiments with treatments, like things that are essentially painted onto rooftops that cause them to be more reflective. Same thing with streets. So there are, if you just think about the miles and miles of asphalt that we have in our city, think about how hot it gets during the day. Go out at night, put your hand on it, and feel how it retains heat. Actions that we can take to mitigate against that retention of heat with these impermeable surfaces or with all of our rooftops could have a significant effect in cooling the city.
And as you alluded, incorporating more shade, more trees is maybe a big part, but a part of what can be done to try to mitigate the heat in the Phoenix area, maybe make it a little cooler here in the summer. How big of a part do you think that is? How big of a role can more shade, more trees play, do you think?
It's really hard to quantify without looking at scientific studies, which our commission plans to do. But we know from our personal experience every day that if we have to walk somewhere, I work downtown and I walk out for lunch or walk out for a meeting, we all cross to the shady side of the street and it's degrees cooler. So I think it's hard to quantify what the specific benefits can be because they're so localized. So depending on the types of buildings that are around, depending on the permeability of surfaces, depending on the materials that are used for the buildings that are around, those are all variables that will impact how much cooling effect trees can have. And the concentration of trees and other plants can also be variables that impact that. Some people have a concern about putting in trees because they feel a desire to save water as much as they can. And I've been thinking about that because I think it's a laudable impulse. But my thinking about this is that we make choices all the time about how to use water. And to me, and I think to a lot of people in Phoenix, trees are one of the best things that we can do that use water. You know, we have lots of water use for data storage, lots of water use for manufacturing, lots of water use for all kinds of things. And isn't a tree one of the great choices for water use, especially a climate-adapted tree that's fairly low water use and offers a lot of shade, a lot of cooling, a lot of air cleaning, a lot of beauty per gallon of water?
All right. Sarah, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Sarah Porter is chair of the Phoenix Environmental Quality and Sustainability Commission's Tree and Shade and Urban Heat Island Subcommittee. She's also director of the Kyle Center for Water Policy at ASU's Morrison Institute for Public Policy.